I want you to, I want the word fear to become a four-letter curse word to you. I want it to be, to have a bad taste in your mouth. So bad that you'll stop doing it because it just tastes so bad. Will you say, let's do it? No. Will you say, let's do it? Then say it. Are you afraid? I'm going to read that to you one more time. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love, so we're not going to fear anything. Amen? Or we're going to be made perfect in love. I said if we can't have it instantaneously tonight, put the seed in there. Get us on the road so we can grow that direction. Now today, there was a group of guys in the back office there, the coffee drinkers. And I went back there for a minute and I listened to them, which is usually not a good thing, but sometimes it's entertaining. And God's in the process of doing a healing in my body in many different areas. But this, I want you to understand something. The enemy is faithful. He's faithful to tell you you don't have what you have. He's faithful to tell you that God is a liar and you're in danger. You need to be afraid of obeying His word. That's His job. And He's going to come in every direction He can to put fear in you because according to what I just read and some more that I'll read, fear separates you from God. Because in God there's perfect peace and joy, which there is no fear because that's torment. Right? Fear is something that the enemy has put in you that you must take dominion over. And you must do it with a belief system based on word. Not based on what I hope or want. Now today those guys were talking and they started talking about shingles. Okay. They're talking about the painful shingles. I don't know what that is. Some kind of nerve-ending problem. And they all talked about, man, I had this shingle. I knew this person that got this shingle. Blah, 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 blah. And then he said, I went and got my shingle shot the other day. And they all said, I did too. I'm ignorant, man. At first, I don't even know what shingles are. And I said, I don't know what a shingle shot is. The last shingles I shot were air guns. That's the only thing I know about. And they looked at me and said, you haven't gotten your shingle shot? No. Maybe I have. Come to think of it, maybe it's the blood of Jesus, huh? I said, not only that, I haven't had a shot in 45 years. And I don't have shingles either. And you know something else? I don't intend to be afraid of them. Because I didn't get a partial salvation, I got a full one. And then, I've been having a little trouble with my knee. It's getting better all the time, but it's not near fast enough. Amen. Y'all can say that. But I am healed. So, now the second shot comes across the bow. Not talking to me, the enemy's talking to them, trying to talk to me. One of them says, you know, that friend of mine, he's on the walker. He's been there for about a few months. He's about to get over. What was wrong with him? Well, he was having his trouble with his knee. Man, he was really cripping around. He just was giving him a lot of trouble. Oh, man, he said, I better go to the doctor and get my knee taken care of. He went to the doctor, and he found out it wasn't a knee. It was a leader that was snapped, and it was clear up in here. And they had to pull that thing back down and reattach it. Now he's walking fine. And the enemy says, that's you? And I said, not me. Amen. The enemy is faithful to make an offer, a suggestion. It's all lie-based because you know the truth. And I told my wife, I shared that with my wife tonight, and I said, you know what? Here's the truth. If that leader snapped and wrapped up around my ear three times, it's the same God with the same healing, and nothing is too hard for Him. Amen. He doesn't need me to run down and ask for somebody to assist him. Well, that's a pretty bold statement, Stan. Well, don't you think I've been challenged on it a few times? But perfect love, perfect trust, perfect belief system, belief in God, casts out fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us, that's you and me, a spirit of fear. Now, can we just stop there for a second? If God doesn't give us fear, where does fear come from? Well, we can be nice and say friends, well-meaning friends. We can say a lot of things, but the truth of the matter, it's bad teaching. You've listened to the wrong voice. You've listened to a voice that tells you that in this world, there are things you must fear. That's directly against the Word of God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, How powerful do you feel when the spider runs across? You know how you get power? You walk over there and go and grin and enjoy it. Because you have now taken dominion over that enemy, and you've proved to that enemy and every other enemy that's looking that I'm going to squash the enemy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if we have fear, we don't have a sound mind. Ooh, I'm afraid the economy is going to... That's not sound mind. I'm afraid the other day when God delivered me, it was just a feeling. That is not sound mind. You need to decide whether you are delivered, feeling or no feeling. Because that's what your health is going to be based on. That's what your eternity is going to be based on. I've made a decision on sound doctrine, and I'm not changing my mind no matter what I feel. Because I've got news for you. One day, all of us are going to feel like we're dying. Because we are. And I don't intend to be deceived into changing my mind about the Word of God when I'm feeling like there's a change coming on. Even if you call it death. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. You'll probably hear that a number more times before we're through with this. Why is this study important? Because we know that the minute we develop an unsound mind, which is fear setting in, that it separates us from the blessings of God. Where are the blessings of God? They're in His Word. Where is fear? Not in His Word. We enter into fear. Fear enters us. You say it the way you want. We are separating ourselves from the love of God, the Word of God, the promises of God, the blessings of God. We begin to separate ourselves from salvation. Please understand, salvation is not having your sins removed. It's being safe. It's an ongoing process and an ongoing thing every day. You mean I've got to repent every day? Most of us, yes. It seems like we specialize in doubt instead of faith and belief. It separates us from healing. Because I promise you, every pain we've ever had is rooted and grounded in a suggestion that we're not where we're supposed to be. Oh, I got a pain. I better go. See? We're not where we're supposed to be. There's help somewhere else instead of right here. One of the first things we started talking about was the presence of God being where you are, everywhere. So if God is my healer, God is my help in the time of need, then where am I going? I'm going to be rooted and grounded. I'm going to be safe. I am safe. So I'm also healed. Please let me remind you that the salvation process, the healing process was taken care of before the salvation was. The bruises and stripes were taken on His body. All the pain of all the sickness and disease was taken on His body before He died for your sins. Someday we must understand this, that God really wants a healthy Christian, not a sick one. Not a weak and downtrodden, full of fear of spiders and mice and whatever else, flying and whatever other goofy thing we can think of. Fear takes away our peace. The quickest way to lose your peace is just get afraid of anything. I'm afraid if I eat that, I'll gain 2 pounds. Don't be afraid. Just make your mind up where you can eat it or not. Don't be afraid. You won't die if you don't, and you won't die if you do. Quit making everything life and death. There's only one thing, life and death, and that's your faith in the Word. It'll steal your joy. We just read in the Scripture that whatever sound mind you and I might have, it steals that. Fear takes away a sound mind. Eventually, it can drive you insane. Everybody know the story of Howard Hughes? Had everything in the world a man could ever have, all the power, all the money and everything, and he drove himself insane, fearing germs. Germs. He never saw one in his life. He's just afraid of it. What you fear will take away your life. It'll take away your love. Well, I'm afraid if I invest love in that woman, she'll hurt me. I'm afraid if I give my heart to the church will hurt me. Well, yeah, all of that's true. Give your heart to God, you'll never get hurt. Fear will take away your wealth. It'll take away your chance of having wealth. Because God, I'm promising you, has made this decision. Those people that are full of fear, I won't trust. An example? In the Bible. God gave one man 10 talents, one man 5, and one man 1. Talent was something of value. It wasn't able to play the piano. It was wealth. That's what it was. And when he came, the one with the wand said, I was afraid. Look at your scripture. I was afraid, so I hid it to make sure that you got what you gave me back. Jesus, the Father, through the Holy Spirit, walked over there and took that talent from that man and gave it to which other one? The one with the most. There's a precedence there. You want to be wealthy? Walk in the most faith and boldness and sound mind. No fear. It'll take away your power and authority. Fear won't allow you to attack the spider. But power and authority will. You know, the other day, here comes my youngest granddaughter. She's holding a snake. Come on. Look. Snake. Now, what are y'all cringing for? I just told you what love is. You're out of your mind if you're afraid. You're out of God's mind in you. A few days later, one granddaughter's holding a rat. The other one goes and gets a BB gun and starts shooting it in her hand. And everybody's dying. The hand's in danger. No, nothing's in danger, people. Don't let fear convince you that there's danger. The rat was the only one who was in danger. And it didn't live through this. It'll do something that's bad. It'll take away your anointing and your calling. Because if you're called with an anointing, you're going to move in an area that's going to take more boldness than you have. And if you let fear come in, you're going to shy away. You're going to back away from that. We've all been there, done that. Let's don't make a commitment to go again. Let's make a commitment not to be there, not to revisit. It'll take away all ministry gifts. You know what kills a church quicker than anything? A pastor that's afraid of gifts out there. If he thinks he's in competition, if he thinks there's a threat that he might lose his position, it's fear. Somebody asked me one time, aren't you afraid that man will come in and steal the church? And I stood up in front of the group and I said, anybody in here that thinks they can steal the church, go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't volunteer for it and I won't fight you. Take it. If you think you can. Come on. Let's be serious about things. We must know and believe that God has preordained what? What's God preordained in you? Well, we know it's not fear. Amen? Let me say this. He hasn't preordained fear in you, but he has preordained fear. I'm going to show you that. You know who the devil's afraid of? Somebody that's not afraid of him. Nearly every confrontation you've ever had in your life, if it turned out bad, it's because you didn't get up in their face and talk back. And that's the way it is with the enemy. The enemy's going to be bold like a lion, has no teeth, but he's bold. He's just looking for somebody. You ever hear that joke about the guy that went around telling everybody, I can whip you. I can whip you. Went around all over the town. I can whip you. I've whipped a lot of people. I can whip you. And this one little guy walked up and said, let me tell you something. You can't whip me. And he said, okay, I'll check you off the list. I'm telling you, that's a perfect description of what the enemy does. He's waiting for somebody to say, you can't whip me. You're already whipped. You're so stupid, you don't know it. He's preordained us not to fear, and he's given direct orders to those that are supposed to. I want you to read with me Genesis chapter 9. And I've said this to you before, but I want you to listen carefully, not with an open mind and not a closed mind. There is, God created all of mankind. You all agree with that? He created everything, not just mankind. He created everything. But I'm going to tell you what. The blessings are built for those that choose Him. Everybody else is taken care of. Like sparrows, they're taken care of, but they're not born again. They do not get the blessings of God. They get some of the provisions of God. God has put in the entire earth provisions for the entire earth. We can be of this world, or we can be in this world. Either way, we're going to be provided for because that's how good God is. But when we move past provision and into far beyond anything we can never think or ask, which is choosing Him as our Father, and we become an heir, then we say, ooh, man, ooh, the windows of heaven get open in our minds. Now, the reason I said all that is I want to tell you this. Those that aren't born again have no right to the blessings of God. Those that decide to walk around in fear do not have the right for the blessings of God. They have the right for provisions. But they can't tell the enemy what I just told y'all. Take me off the list. They can't do that. Because they are created in the likeness and image of God, but they have not received God as their Father. And the likeness and image makes the devil mad. You don't think he really likes God, do you? Well, you're in dangerous territory if you're not born again, because you look like God and the enemy hates you. Now, the difference is, I don't just look like God. I smell like Him. I feel like Him. I speak like Him. Amen. Amen. And the difference is, He can't touch me. No more than He can touch God. If you think the devil can attack God, then you have the right to think the devil can attack you. You've got to work that out in your mind. And I want to talk to you after. If you think that an arm wrestling match between God and the devil can win. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. I said that different. I've never said it before. I want you to understand. When I read the Bible, it's for those that accept the Bible as the Word of God. Not just read it. All right. We're going to be talking about those that are truly serious about God being their Father. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. So God blessed Noah, this is after the flood, and his sons, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth. Please, when you read the Bible, don't take God's word as a suggestion. He doesn't make suggestions. He says, that's what I want out of you. Then there'll always be a description or an explanation of what's going to happen if you do and don't. All right, verse 2. And the fear of you, that would include spiders, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. There goes the spider out. They're given into your hand. In the Bible, when it refers to your hand, it is the source of your power. That's what it means. The right hand is the source of the power. Always. It's given into your hand. Everything. I'll give you some more definitions in a minute. Number 3, verse 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. The word food is not just limited to what you eat here. It's provision. Animals were not put here for you to fall in love with and write into your will. They were put here because they taste good. I love animals. They taste good. Put it on your bumper. Stick your tongue out to those people that are madly in love with the animals. The Bible, if you'll read the Bible, it tells you that anybody that loves an animal has perverted love. That's the word it uses. Somebody asked John Wayne one time, what's the name of your horse? He said, I never name anything I might have to eat. Let's keep it clear. I reserve my love for my God and for those creations He's made for me to love. And I will not commit adultery. I will not be an adulterous lover and love something I'm not supposed to love. We have a prayer meeting afterwards for sore toes. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. All things. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Those of you that like rare steaks, read the Word. Those that you like real sushi, read the Word. Can I just see? I don't have a lot of fear of being bold. You understand that? If I have no fear, I have no fear. And where I have fear, I repent and turn from it. Verse 5, surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. If a beast takes one of God's children, they will answer to God. And if you don't think God, the animals know God, they know Him better than most people. And from the hand of man, if they take blood, I will require it. From the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, why is that? Because that's God. Whoever shed man's blood, understand this now, please, so you don't get confused. We're talking about children of God. If you don't understand that, then you're not going to understand how God rolled the sea together and killed thousands of soldiers. And the reason were that they weren't children of God. He did not know them. They were no different you're going to get in trouble, Stan. They were no different than the animals. If you don't believe that, look at the prisons, look at the murders, look at the rapes, look at the people killing their own children. Those that know God, that do not know God, they're animals. Now, since I know everybody here is saved, I know I'm not talking to one of you. You don't have to go out and say this outside the church. But I promise you, if you don't get this down, when you read the Bible, you will get confused and wonder why God can say, thou shalt not kill, and He kills. Rooted and grounded in the Word is the only way that you can have a sound mind. God will explain these things to you if you'll ask. Okay, let me finish. Whoever shed man's blood, by man his blood will be shed. For in the image of God He made man. A lot of things going on. Thank you, Lord. And as for you, anybody here not a you? Okay, then here comes the command. Be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it, the earth. Well, I don't know where I'm abundant and where I'm not. Maybe you got fear you need to get rid of. Maybe you need to trust this word so much that you believe that just as God provides for a sparrow, how much more would He provide the ability to His own children to accomplish His word? That is what the Holy Spirit was put on this earth to do, was to accomplish His word through you. Amen. There's His word. Yes. Is it up to you? Yes, you have to say, that's for me. Amen. That's what I need to do. Holy Spirit, I don't know how, and I can't accomplish anybody, but You can through me. Why? Because the lifeblood that quoted that scripture, the life of God that quoted that scripture is in you. So that word is trying to come out of you and accomplish the word of God through you. You need to stop being afraid that that might get you in trouble. You might take a risk that God can't cover. A guy told me today, he said, I made $250,000 mistake, but I got a checkbook big enough to pay for it. Now, if a man of the world can say that, what can we say? How big is the mistake? You think it's too big for God to handle? Then let's get busy. In all situations and all things, let's understand that the command that's coming out, that's trying to work out through us, is be fruitful and multiply. Be in abundance and do it in this earth. Don't wait for heaven and the gold streets and the crowns. That's then. We're talking about now. We need to walk around looking, expecting. Let's get back to that word we talked about a few Wednesday nights ago. Expecting to see the word perform through me. Come on. Recognize that that's not a threat. It's a promise that's going to come out in me. Everything that I lay my hand to prospers. Why? Because the word says so. And I'm not afraid to say the word. And I'm not afraid to see it break out of me. I'm not going to jump back and say, whoa, that scares me. Keep your mouth shut. Just say, whoa. Oh, praise God. Learn, praise God. No fear. Praise God. Now let's go back to Genesis 9, verse 2. I want to give you a couple of definitions quickly. Genesis chapter 9, verse 2. I don't want to read to you all the boring definitions, so I'm going to do a quick translation. If you need to, you check me up. Check out. Get your Strong's out and just look and see. It says, the fear of you. You got that one? Let's work with that. The fear of you. It means there's something inherent in every creation. Let me tell you something. In all of creation, including the water, according to the definitions, the air, the vegetables, the minerals. You understand? They respect us. Fear. They respect us. You know, I got a couple of horses out there, and it just amazes me. You can walk up a 2,000-pound horse and just do that to that horse, and that horse will obey you. That horse could stomp you into the ground. One of the things that helps me understand the word is to look at situations like that. That horse is afraid of me. Why? Because God says so. That spider's trying to run from you. Not coming after you, trying to run away because it is afraid of you. That fear was put in there. Fear was put in. It's not the word fear truly, it's respect. A truly healthy respect. Something in that horse knows that if he doesn't do what I tell him to do, he could get in trouble. I don't understand that. And I'm not going to shrink my brain to try. I know we had one horse one time that was giving her trouble, and I reared back and knocked the horse out. Made a deep impression in her. She always kind of wondered, if I knocked the horse out, what could he do to me? The horse greatly respected me after that time. I didn't have to tell him to go in the gate. All I had to do was open it. You know why I can operate that way? It's not because I hate animals. It's because I know what they're thinking. Y'all looking at me like he's crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I'm telling you, I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, watch out for that guy. Why? Because the scripture says so. The fear of you. The fear meaning, again, let me get back over here, lose my place. It means who I am. That animal's afraid of who I am and what I can do. Who put it there? God did, not us. We don't have to perform, remember? It's to respect and revere. Horses are very loyal animals. Once they learn to respect you, you got them forever. It's not just based on fear, but it's something God put in them. The reason? We're created in God's likeness and image. We don't have to go around kicking dogs to prove that we're superior. They already know that. Sometimes we need to suggest to people that they know that. Maybe if you just stop sleeping with that dog, you might get a wife. Trade up, guys. The next part of that, the dread of you. He's put fear and he's put dread. What is that? That is the desire to bow and yield. An animal has a desire to yield to you. I didn't say it. God said it. You got a beef? Take it up with the chief. It also means this. I am born and destined to outthink them. What does that mean? I'm smarter than. I've been to the dread means I've been given a job to rule over. Please. Man, if I could tell the world anything. We've been given a job to rule. I'm going to stop right there, just to rule. We've even been given, according to this definition, we've been also given a job to beat down rebellion. Oh, you can't beat an animal. The Bible says if you spare a rod, you'll spoil a child. Are your animals more valuable than your children? You got that unsound of mind? I'm not going to tell you all the stories, but you can bank I rule because I love God. And He gave me the assignment. Y'all still fussing at me over there? Good. I want to show you something. In your mind, let your mind go like mine did this afternoon. Oh, well, what about some animals that, you know, maybe we should have some healthy fear. Y'all ever heard that term before? Healthy fear, well, we just read that's not healthy at all. It's against your health when you're afraid. Well, how about a lion? Well, how about David? How about Daniel? God says, don't be afraid. Daniel steps in a den of lions and God shuts their mouth. It is up to God to perform His word, not for you to whip something that's bigger than you are. Amen? What about a bear? What about David? What about just taking a hold of it and tearing it apart? You think David might be that strong? No. But he wasn't afraid, which gave him strength. What about those big old sharks and stuff in the sea? Well, what about Jonah? He got a free ride. Even in his rebellion, he got a free ride. It may have been a little stinky, but it was because of his rebellion. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Thought maybe I went one scripture too far there for a minute. Impossible, right? Go to verse 3. Verse 3. I do this. People, I hope you respect the fact that I do this to prove to you that God's word is exactly the way we don't understand it many times, but the way it's true. Definitions always help you. You can look up every word. I have looked up every word in Genesis. You come over to my house and I'll show you the 10 notebooks to show you that I printed them out. Every word in the book of Genesis. And it doesn't do anything but excite you. Because you find out that no matter what, the word is greater than what you thought. Okay, thought my wife was giving me a sign there for something. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. Every moving thing defines this. This is the way it's defined. All. The whole. There's nothing left. Every vegetable, animal, mineral is put here, listen to this. This is the definition. To meet your needs. The spider was put here to meet your needs. How? Don't have all the answers. But they are something in the chain that's required to meet your needs. And by the way, kill every spider you can find. And whatever happens to the species, if they go out, they go out. God's got it under control. I'll bet you a dollar he was smart enough to build in some redundancy. At least that's the way I'm going to look at it. You know when we're going to run out of oil? On the last day. You know when the ice caps are going to melt? On the last day. You know, aren't we thankful that the world is under the influence of global warming? It'd be real cold if it wasn't. Come on, y'all been watching the news? You know what I'm talking about, man. Talk about a crock. Global warming. What that's saying is that we have more control over this earth than God does. Get real. Every morning that lives, I mean every moving thing that lives, is food for you, which not only provides for your needs, but also your wishes. I sat down today at a barbecue place, and I didn't want barbecue. I wanted a ribeye steak, so I ordered a ribeye steak, and here it comes. Provision. What I wish, not just what I needed. I didn't even need either one of those, but I wanted them, and I got them. There was some obedient cow out there that loved me so much, it gave its life for me, and I'm not going to disrespect it by not eating it. It loved me. It yielded to me. And I loved it back. I have given you all things. Whatever you think the most powerful thing on the earth is, God has given you more power than that. No weapon formed against you. I don't care if it's a volcano. I don't care if it's a meteor. I have done this at least twice that I can remember. But you can go out to the biggest hurricane that's trying to come in here, and if you don't want it in here, you start speaking to that thing and tell it to go somewhere else, and it will go somewhere else. Why? Because you were given dominion over the whole mess. You know, the one time in my life I will not have dominion over everything? The last day. My last day here, I will lose dominion. Because all of a sudden, I'm God's totally. And now, but if you don't think I'm now over everything, you're mistaken. I rule and reign easily now. I have the right to, on the power to provide the needs, not just for me, but for others, to grow things and grow myself. Not this way. I have the power over that too. The last, verse 7, go down to verse 7. And as for you, we all got it down, that's all of us in here, right? Be fruitful, multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Well, but what if this thing happens? Be fruitful and multiply. Abound. If it don't look like it, do it anyway. Be it anyway. Talk it anyway. Feel it anyway. Say it anyway. Spiders. I'm fixing to abound. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, we spent a lot of years not being able to say this, but isn't it nice to not owe anybody any money and to have enough to pretty much do what we want to do? Isn't that nice of God to do that? Well, see, He did that when I was born. He did it long before then, but it was provisioned. It was provisioned for me before the foundations of the earth. I finally woke up and figured it out. For you, be fruitful and multiply. Let me tell you what that means. Be fruitful means to bear fruit, to grow and to increase. You are not put here to warm anything. You are here to increase and bear fruit. What's bearing fruit? Something of like kind. What I am, here's some. Most of us, most Christians are not even bold enough to say, what I am, here's some. Because they're just not too sure they're palatable or they're good for anything. Well, start being good for something. To bring forth. Let me tell you what this means. It means work to abound. Work to abound. Not just abound, work to abound. Everything you put your hand to, every place you walk, every time you spend the calorie, it has to be for abounding. You need to make that up in your mind. Why? So I can be rich. No, so the kingdom can be rich. The kingdom will never be rich unless the kingdom people are rich. Rich in what? Sound mind, peace, joy, love, healing, salvation, money, authority, power, anointing, calling. Man, nearly every time I pray, I say to God, I want to know what you know. I want to think, I want to hear what you're thinking. I want to feel what you're feeling. And God has been faithful, sometimes to nearly more than I can handle. He wants us to know what He's up to. That's Scripture. Abundantly. Bring forth abundantly in the earth. It means grow in all areas of life greater than you've ever planned. Grow in your life in all areas greater than you've ever planned. This is not my wish for you. This is not your wish for me. It's not your wish for you. It's God's want and plan for you. And command. Let's start getting obedient. We got someone that wants to bless her socks off and we're going to argue with him. I'm afraid. I just wouldn't be humble. Well, take the risk. I believe God can handle you. You get too big, I'd say it the way my grandmother used to say, you get too big for your britches, she'll take you down a buttonhole or two. God can handle you, I promise you. I'm just about there, okay? Let me read you about two or three more scriptures. Isaiah 54:17. Can you go there quickly? I want to give you other promises. I've got 100 of them, but or maybe more. But here's a promise for you. As you attempt to not work in fear, not operating in fear, not believe the enemy, not be afraid of what he suggests, because you know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. That every tongue that rises against you in a judgment, you, wait a minute, remember I said you work for abundance? You shall condemn. Quit asking God to condemn something. You do it. Start in you. Those things that are causing fear in you, a reluctancy to move out, pronounce judgment on them. You don't know. You're not operating here. No, that goes against the Word of God. I don't receive it. And you said amen, right? You shall condemn it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is what you inherited, this ability to condemn those things, even in you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me. Did you know most Christians won't move out on this because they don't feel righteous? Well, what did that scripture say? Righteousness is from who? You didn't work for that. That's a gift. That's also the inheritance. Here's the clincher. Says the Lord. And I say to you, stop your arguing. Don't argue with the Lord. That's not sound mind. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Do you understand he wasn't welcome? Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. There's your example. Quit being afraid. Stop being afraid. If you didn't have dominion, if you weren't supposed to abound and teach other people abundance, that wouldn't be in there. Well, that was Jesus. Oh, really? Oh, really? He's gone. Are we still supposed to be teaching the kingdom? That's what we can expect. Not one thing gets by us. Well, I tried this the other day and it didn't work. Tried and fear go together. You don't try anything, you just do it. You stand on it. You get bolder than the threat that's coming your way. Well, what else might it take? It might take some prayer and fasting. That's scripture. If you see something is not going like you should, fast, pray, but don't doubt. Because that's not a sound mind. Matthew 10:1. Anybody in this place disciplined enough to be a disciple? Surprise you. If you're going to be a disciple, your root word must be discipline. That means you're disciplined enough to do the way Jesus did. Here's the first example. I'm called to be a disciple. How about you? Okay. When he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them. They didn't earn it. They didn't chant it. They didn't study it. He gave them the power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. Let me, just for a moment, look at the last word. You see the last word? Don't let that go anywhere. I can't reach that. Let me show you something. If I can. Look at this word. Dis-ease. You catch that? What's the difference between a disease and a sickness? Tons of difference. Sickness is a malady. It's an illness. Disease is anything that causes you to be uncomfortable. He gave us power over that. Dis-ease. Learn that word. It'll help you a lot. Power over dis-ease. Was that just for me? No, you start telling me about your uneasiness and I'm going to help you with this ease. This one right here, we're fixing to run it out. Unclean spirits, maladies, and anything that makes you uncomfortable. You take care of those things, you've taken care of the trinity of evil. You have the trinity that's come against the trinity of evil. There's nothing left. There's nothing that can bother you if you take away unclean spirits, maladies, and anything that makes you uncomfortable. I'm going to stop there because I'm out of time. Fear is your enemy. If you wake up tonight and you're thinking of having a heart attack, tell it to go away. Don't call 911. Open your Bible and open it to Psalms 91:1. Put it in your notes. Something causes you to fear, look up Psalms 91:1 instead of 911. You say, not me. The enemy used to attack me all the time that way. Wake me up in the night, half dead, didn't have enough energy to move. Just all the life going away, and I just punched my wife, and she just turned over and start praying. And as soon as I got enough strength, I'd start praising with her. I beat him up enough times to where he don't come back anymore. I don't mean to make it sound like work, but it is work. The work is that you must believe God, you must talk like God, you must act like God. God would not sit there taking a beating from the enemy, and you shouldn't either. Amen. We're encouraged tonight, right? And the next time something acts like it's going to cause me a little fear, I'm going to talk against that, I'm going to act against that, I'm going to stand against it. And let me warn you, you might become a target for every little offering that the enemy wants to give you, and you just say, greater is he that's in me. Just bring it on. And then when you finally get enough of him, bring it on, tell him, don't bring it on anymore. That's enough. I'm tired of playing with you. I've shown you enough. We're through. My patience has run out with you. The devil is not big, and he's not mean, and he's not tough. He was so stupid that he was in heaven, and he got himself kicked out. Excuse me for being a little comical tonight, but it's the way it is. Will y'all stand with me?